What's up, everybody? So, I think what I want to do in this episode, if it goes well, if I release it, of course, is to talk to you about how to release your own inner Sigma. Because what I've come to understand is that this is something that is possible for a good majority. Well, I almost guarantee that those who are already listening to me and agreeing to what I'm saying are closer to it than most people anyways. As that goes, because that's just the nature of the work that I do here. So, but in the spirit of this, we're going to attempt to release the inner Sigmas of all of us. Because I do believe there is a possibility for all of us, but especially a good majority of us, to release our inner Sigma. And once we are able to do this for ourselves, we open up a new possibility. And there really isn't a whole lot anybody can do with us at that point. They can't really stop us. They can try, but they can't really stop us very well. They can't really control us, because who controls somebody who controls himself? And so, if you don't really know what a Sigma is, there's basically two or three basic ideas of a person, of a male to be specific, but I think this is true for others as well, in different ways, and to be honest with you, it is a bit oversimplified, but the point is still similar anyways. The point is still basically the same. So, you have the alphas, and you have the betas. In real life, most people are kind of in between these two, usually speaking. In a lot of ways, or they're in different when in different circumstances. They're very different. Right, one person they could be the alpha, when another person they could be the beta. Whatever that is, right? So, the alphas are very, very out there with their alphaism. And they're very macho. They try to show off with everybody and things like this. You know, extroverted domination of others kind of thing. Betas are submissive towards the alphas. And a lot of times there's a lot of ideas about being nice, being too nice, and things like this that are involved in this as well, trying to appease others and things like this. And Sigmas are kind of like the lone wolves of this group. The person who doesn't really care about appeasing anyone, but doesn't really care to show off, and doesn't really care to be the alpha either. Because let's be honest, to be an alpha is a lot of work. It's a lot of concentration. It's a lot of trying to be something that you're really not anyways. In the first place. And so, in some ways, I think a Sigma is closer to himself, is closer to understanding himself than alphas and betas are. So, there's basically a couple of things that I really become aware of that helps you to release your own inner Sigma. And the first one, to me, is And this is hard to explain in a couple of simple words, so I'm going to expand upon this a little bit. But the first basic point, and this isn't necessarily going to be in order, this may be different for you depending on which one of these you do the least, or which one of these you think you should do, you might want to do more of because of various reasons. But the first point is, so the basic first point is something like this. If somebody tells you the choices between A and B, you have to find something else that is not those choices. Between A and B, well, let's find choice X, you know, whatever that is. And so basically the first point, the first way to release your inner Sigma is to find, if somebody is giving you these options, or if that seems to be the common options that society chooses for you, the alpha and beta, for instance, you choose something different. You choose yourself. It doesn't mean that you have to publish out loud what your choice is and go like, oh no, this is my choice. You're not, you know, that would be the alpha way. It's basically about finding a way of going towards X. Whatever that is, right? Instead of, you know, if somebody says, well, like, you guys are with us or you're against us, or you're either with the terrorists or you're with the Americans, it's like, well, actually, technically, you can be supportive of, you can not support America in war against terror, but still be pro-American. That's a possibility, right? A lot of people will try to fool you with this kind of talk, with this kind of thinking. And there's many different biases that fall into this kind of category. That particular bias is what you would call black and white thinking, right? You're either with us or you're with the normals, with the normies, right? To every in group, there's a normie somewhere. You know, if you're in a group, if you're in one particular group, everybody else is the normies. But to another particular group, you, this group that you're in, are the normies, right? And so it's the in-group versus the out-group mentality. That's how the alpha-beta system works. It's why it's worked so well. Well, not necessarily so well, but that's why it's worked, right? Of course, a lot of those lines have been kind of falling apart because of the anti-establishment mindset and mentality, but there's still a lot of this going on with the alpha slash beta system. And so you have to find that X. You could call it finding the X factor. you look for the X factor that is not A or B, or if it is A or B, it isn't A or B in the way that they told you to be A or B. It's based on you. It's based on what you know, what you've experienced. It doesn't mean that what you know is false. It doesn't mean that what you know is absolutely true and that you always only rely upon yourself. But if you do look to other people's knowledge, that might be taken in, but that is not the deciding factor for something as a Sigma person, as you're releasing your inner self, your inner Sigma. That's number one. That's probably the biggest one, to be honest with you. That's one of the things that many people fall into, and this takes many different forms. And you have to be aware of what those forms will be when they happen, because they are so collimated. They're so common and they're so insidious that It would not be surprising to me that many have fallen into this. So that's number one, right? So there's a lot of rules that you could probably go with, right? A lot of not really rules, but guidelines for this process. Number two, I think would be a good one would be to, and these are kind of arbitrary. I could choose a bunch of different ones. But what is absolutely necessary is definitely guideline number one, which is like what we talked about. Finding your own metric. If they say you have to choose between A and B, choose X, whatever that is. Second one is finding your own inner barometer. And this is kind of more of a self-awareness guide, to be honest with you, because this is really what it is. To be a Sigma almost really requires you to become aware of what the self is about, what your self is, what it really is, what your uniqueness quotient, what your uniqueness quotient is. Not just a term I just made up. What is it that makes you tick? What is it that makes you do what you do? This is what this means, finding your inner barometer. What exactly is it that you want to do, that you feel like you need to do, whatever that is? And caveat here to this is what things do you think that you need to do? What actually do you need to actually think you do that you have gotten from society? And how do you know that those things are actually what you think you need, actually what you need to do or want to do or whatever it is? This is going back to guideline one, find your X factor. If somebody tells you you have to do A or B, choose X. Unless, of course, you agree with what that A or B is. But make sure you're agreeing from a place of actual self-knowledge and self-awareness, and not because that person says this, or because society says this, or whatever it is. Because the truth about the matter is that you have to understand before you really become aware of your inner Sigma is that there's a lot of things that we have believed in, we think we need to do, that are actually only societal things that have been programmed into us, pre-programmed into us from our past. We have to go to college. Why? Because our parents told us this. College is not really as necessary anymore as it used to be honest with you. Of course, even businesses haven't really realized this quite yet. But that's what this is all about. This is going not even necessarily against anything, but going towards yourself. I guess that could be rule a guide not a guideline number three, which is don't go against anything, go towards yourself. So what this means, right, is what'll typically happen if something happens, if somebody says something, is you'll go against what that person is saying. Like, oh, you're saying that this is bad and this is happening and this is not true and you're wrong and I just disagree. No. This is helping you to become dependent upon, well, not necessarily dependent, but you're becoming caught up in red herrings that are not the self. You could almost think of reality as a red herring in some ways. I might do an episode on this. It sounds a bit strange to say that, but it is kind of true for a lot of reasons. But it's not about going against anything. We have to learn how to stop going against things because we don't like them or because they don't match up. We have to start to learn how to go towards ourselves. When you notice that you disagree with this thing, notice that. Notice why. Notice within yourself. Of course, rule two applies as well, or guideline two, which is find your inner barometer. Are you actually going against this thing because that's what society tells you to go against it, or are you going against it because that's actually what you believe yourself, within your actual self? Right? This is the inner barometer. We're going away from going against things. We're going away from resisting things and going towards ourselves. and so it's about learning how to go towards ourselves and stay there and find out what our inner barometer is. And not just in our inner barometer is in the senses of like, what do we actually want? What do we actually need? But in the senses as well of like, am I tired? Am I getting burnt out by this activity or whatever it is? This, in some ways, is going to be the most important activity you'll learn how to do. And I can't really give you a set of guidelines to do this. It's something that you have to learn how to do yourself if you want to release your inner sigma. Because the reason why you're so stuck on pleasing other people or so stuck on being the resistant one or whatever it is because you're not becoming aware of your own inner barometer in the first place, which, you know, of course brings us to rule number three. Don't go against other people, go towards yourself. It's the model of insanity to me to see something that you disagree with and comment upon it on you in your own head and go like, oh, how dare this exist, and this shouldn't be happening, and you know, that's, you're wasting time, you're wasting your life doing this. Do you want to spend your decades doing this? Right? Probably not. What if that was the last thought that you thought? Like, oh, how dare they think this? You know, this kind of thing. And then you died. Wouldn't it be your last thought? You know, this kind of thing, right? It reminds me of something that I read in The Power of Now. I don't know if it's actually true. I haven't really read. I've read a lot of the Bible, but there's this one thing that he talks about, Eckhart Tolle, is that Jesus says, where he's like, why are you anxious? Is being anxious adding one more second to your life? You know, whatever it was. It's an interesting idea, right? Is being resistant to this thing adding anything to your life? So, to kind of help you with this, there is like an idea that I really like. It's called the three filter test. You can look it up. It's this idea of Socrates, where basically the idea is to add three basic filters to anything that you're thinking or saying or whatever it is, right? And those filters are basically, is it true? Is it good? And is it useful? The example was like a person who was gossiping about somebody, like, is this thing true? Like, do you know for absolute certainty that this thing is true? No, I don't know if it's true. You know, is it good? Is this thing that you're going to tell me good? No, it's not. It's not necessarily good. And so it's like, well, so you're telling me that you're saying something bad about somebody. Yeah, basically. Right. And then the last one was, is it useful? No, it's not really useful. And so that's it. That's the filter, right? Like, if it's not truthful, good, or useful, is it? It's basically, it doesn't pass the three filter test. I like this idea of the three filter test because it kind of puts shit into perspective, and you're just like, wait, no, this isn't really truthful or good or useful. You know, things like this, like this episode might not be completely truthful, but it is useful information all the same. It's not necessarily like the whole alpha, beta, sigma thing is absolutely true in some absolute sense, but it isn't a useful concept to help us to become aware of ourselves, right? And so is it good in this way? Perhaps, because then you can learn to avoid situations, and you can learn to stop resisting things and things like this, right? The three filter test. So, yeah, those are the three basic ones. I mean, there's more that we can definitely add to this. Like, I think those are the most important guidelines, to be honest with you. And the other ones would, if I add in any more, would be just kind of like further expanding upon this, right? Like, I could add a fourth one, which is like, goes along the lines of like, you know, finding, don't please others because of them, do so because of yourself, if that's what you choose to do, things like this. That would be like the fourth one, things like this. And you could just add things based on what you've learned from yourself as well. This is a very personal process. This is about self-awareness. This is about finding your own barometer, right? So I think I'm going to finish this here. There's probably more that I could add to this, but I think those are the basic three that we can become aware of within ourselves. And then we can add more as we need. So the basic three are to find your X factor. If somebody says you have a choice between A and B, or that's what society says, or whatever, or modern culture, find the X factor. Find what X would be for you. And this could be based on guideline number two, find your inner barometer. Right? And then number three, which is related to find your inner barometer, which is to not go against others, but go towards yourself, right? And so I might do a guidelines episode on how to find your inner barometer as well, because that's really important to this process. But really, it's a very personal process. But there are some things you can learn how to do, which is to, one thing I recommend for you to do is, so there's a couple of things that I recommend for you to do, but one really important thing I think is to learn to, is basically what I recommend is to be in silence for like 20, 30 minutes in the morning or at night. It doesn't really matter. And just be with yourself. because, and without needing to be anything in particular, and just noticing what your mind is doing, what your thoughts are doing, what is happening there, without really putting too much pressure upon yourself about this. Because this is what you need to learn how to do, is become aware of what yourself really is. Not what you think the self really is. Become aware of what your mind is really thinking. What you become aware of, your inner barometer, right? Going towards yourself, not against others. And just kind of going from that place. Or coming from that place and entering the world from this place. And many people, what they try to do with this process is they will ask a lot of like big questions. Like, who am I? Like, why am I here? It's like, what does that really matter? I mean, it's important, I guess, to ask those questions, but like a lot of times what I find is that those questions are so big as to not really be answerable. And so you almost have to start with now questions. Am I tired? Am I annoyed? Am I even willing to do this practice in the first place? Why? Why not? You know, this kind of thing. Journaling might be a good practice to learn, basically learning to undo a negative emotions by journaling them and just noticing what happens afterwards. You know, because oftentimes what I've come to understand is that what you normally think isn't actually what you actually are, what yourself is. Of course, we can debate about whether you have a self or not, but I'm talking about like your innermost self. You know, there's basically three, I mean, there's more than three, but there's three basic ideas or points of reference that you have when it comes to self, right? There's the public self, which is typically what you would think of when it comes to the self. That's like the self that you show off to people. Not necessarily in a show-offy way, but like you show yourself to people. When you're around people, you portray yourself in a different way than you would if you're by yourself, right? So the public self. Number two is the private self. That's the self that you show to your friends, your close partners, whatever it is. And of course, there's number three, the secret self. The self you might not even be aware of within yourself. Right. And so you have to find out what those selves are. And you have to find a way of finding out if those selves really are you in the first place. Because you have ideas that you don't necessarily believe in, but they're taught to you and that you haven't really questioned, because I don't know, because society and because the world is a big red herring. I mean, there's so many distractions in the world, like TikTok videos and YouTube videos and, ooh, look, something shining on the ground, you know, like things like this, right? That you don't really have a whole lot of time to just sit there in silence for 30 minutes and just contemplating questions, asking questions, and getting, becoming aware of the inner barometer of the self. But the more that you are able to do this, the more you're able to become more aware. And this has been basically the entire point of these episodes, to help you to become more aware. So, anyways, There's more that I could say for sure. But I'll leave it there for now, and I'll talk to you on the next one. So, I guess there is a fourth one we could add here, since we're adding more. And then I'll end this episode. The fourth one would be to be true to oneself. Don't compromise on oneself once you find it. It doesn't mean that you be mean about the fact that you are against this or whatever it is. But you have to become true to yourself. Become unwilling to compromise about where you are, what you are willing to do, this kind of thing. Because once you allow yourself to compromise yourself, your values, your image of yourself, whatever that is, you will do it again and again and again until you wonder and realize and ask yourself, like, am I now invisible to myself or to others? Right? So compromise on oneself is where you start ending up with problems. Doesn't mean that you have to be in kind of like a warlike state with others who you don't compromise with. It just means, like, if you see something that you disagree with or that you don't want to do yourself, like, you know, this goes back to rule three, right? Don't go against others, go towards yourself. If you notice where others are and you are not in alignment with this, you go away, you disappear, and you don't talk about it with them necessarily, or if that's what you feel like doing, right? So, this is not about others, this is about yourself. This is about you, what you are, what you think, what you know, what you think you know, at least, right? Things like this. So, anyways, hope you enjoyed this episode. I'll talk to you in the next one.